Over the last few years, we've welcomed some great speakers from the Church Army. Some of you will remember Des Scott coming to speak and Mark Russell came to speak. And today we've got Neville Willerton. I heard what he's got to say at 9 o'clock, and I know it's going to be even better at this service.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've got to follow Des and Mark. So now there's an awesome task. Isn't it great to have sports results in worship? It's just fantastic. It's really, really good. Steve, thank you so much for your welcome and for you as a church, for your support and prayers and giving for Church Army and particularly for our Marylebone project here in London. I'm the Director of Operations for Church Army, helping to oversee and support and manage and grow our frontline work across the UK and Ireland. And it's because of your prayers, it's because of your support, we're seeing significant growth right across these islands, particularly as we're seeking to reach out with the love of Christ, particularly to broken estates, tough estates around the UK and Ireland. So just want to start by saying thank you so much for standing with us within that. I'm also a Church Army evangelist. Church Army trained me, and I've led projects in England, across England, and over in Belfast as well. Church Army's vision is for everyone, everywhere, to encounter God's love and be empowered to transform their communities through faith shared in words and action. Big vision statement, I'm sure you would agree. We're not there yet. But through your prayer and for your support and the hard work that our evangelists are doing around these islands, lives are being changed. I want particularly to talk to you about this parable, but also about the Marylebone Project and the difference that that is making in some of the most vulnerable people within these islands. The mission statement of the Marylebone Project is to empower women to end their homelessness and live lives to the full, undergirded by values. Those values are hospitality, welcoming and respecting women, bringing them to an inclusive and safe environment. Second is empowerment, that we empower women to make informed choices and have a voice. Thirdly, it's about resettlement, encouraging and supporting women into independent living. And spirituality, giving each woman hope to live life to the full, because God loves us all unconditionally. We have, in the centre of London, we have a couple of hostels around the Marylebone Project, 112 beds. And I want to express my thanks to you as a church for your prayers and for your support in this remarkable project. I wondered if you would just watch the screen and watch a short video. Thank you. I hope you're inspired by Emma's story and the difference that the project makes over one life that was transformed. It's the context of a guy who was beaten up and left in a ditch to die, that one life was absolutely transformed. Of our Marylebone Project, nearly 7,500 women visited our day centre to look in for advice on housing, on immigration, on welfare, the use of the showers and our laundry facilities. 46 women in 1 year, last year, were settled into independent living. That's virtually one person per week, rehoused and resettled. 320 women took part in our job training programme. The Marylebone Project is the largest of its kind in London, and I'm hugely proud of the difference that it makes over individual lives, helping homeless women empower themselves to make informed choices about their lives. You didn't come here to listen to me talk about statistics. A lady from the Philippines came to live with us in the Marylebone Project. This is something of her story, not my words, her words. I'm a victim of domestic abuse. I haven't had a house since my husband kicked me out of our family home in 2008. I had nowhere else to go, so I ended up on the streets. The Marylebone Project staff have been fantastic with me. I can come here and have something to eat, take a shower, wash my clothes, enjoy some company. I've been coming to Munch in Marylebone for 3 years now, and I absolutely love it. There's a family feel in the kitchens, and we care about each other. Thanks to Munch in Marylebone, I now have my food hygiene level certificate too. Cooking makes me smile inside. My dream is to become a professional chef. When I most needed help, I found the Marylebone Project. I know it's God that brought me here. Then to our reading from Luke's Gospel. Jesus tells a story of the Good Samaritan, this parable. But the context is a lawyer. The context is a lawyer trying to justify his question, trying to justify his conversation with Jesus. The thing that strikes me about this parable of the Good Samaritan, that the Good Samaritan, the hero within the story, doesn't just pay a check, does he? He doesn't put some money into a cap of somebody who's begging on the streets. No, he gives his time and he gives his money to get this unfortunate man back on his feet, bandaged up with a roof over his head and good food in his belly. I often travel around, but you can probably guess with my job, the director of operations for a national charity. And so I travel around a fair bit, down to London here, but also Scotland and Ireland and across Wales. And our home of Church Army is based in Sheffield, which is our offices there. And one evening I was walking the streets of Sheffield. And like London, Sheffield has many homeless and rough sleepers, particularly in the city centre. And I was walking down one particular street in the centre of the city, and I just saw this homeless guy in a sleeping bag with a cardboard box wrapped around him. And as I got closer, this young woman came in between the two of us, and she had this huge pizza, the biggest pizza you've ever seen in your life. And she dropped it down, placed it right in front of this homeless man's nose who was fast asleep. Didn't wait for thanks, didn't wait for a conversation, just walked off. This beautiful cameo played out in front of me, and it stuck in my mind ever since. And so sometimes when I'm in Sheffield or down in London, I'll go to one of these pizza places that do two-for-one offer. And so I can't eat two pizzas myself, okay? So I'll have one myself, and I'll sit down, and I'll eat my pizza, and I'll share it with somebody homeless. Just because of that cameo moment, just because of that one thing that I saw, there are ripple effects. Other people are affected by that one thing. How many people have been transformed because of this one story in Luke chapter 10? The context, the lawyer, an expert in the law, he started with a question. Presumably, this lawyer is rich. Presumably, he's affluent. Presumably, he's educated. The first question is about what he can get. It talks a lot about motives of this man. How do I gain eternal life? And Jesus, through a simple story, taught him about law, talking about the law of love. Of course, this story is also a provocative story, isn't it? It provokes the listener to action. The hero of the story, the Good Samaritan, compassion welled up within him, that he couldn't just walk by. He had to do something. This is a provocative story. Jesus creates this story and puts the hero of the story as a hated foreigner, a hated Samaritan, a clever, a subtle twist that is deliberately provocative. I wonder what this says to us, how we keep our borders as a nation, keeping those in need who are foreigners outside so they don't take my job. Even this week, the many people who died in the back of a truck through expected people trafficking. What does this say to us as the body of Christ, as we seek to be good Samaritans, as we seek to be the good hero within this story? In our story, the victim, we don't know anything about this victim, do we? All it says is, Jesus says, there is a certain man. We don't know anything about him. He could be a farmer. He could be about business. He could be homeless. We don't know. And I've been in this role for a good number of years now and met many women in our Marylebone project. I remember meeting one young woman who was an artist, and she brought down her portfolio of her artwork, and I was in awe of the gift of this young woman. There's women who have got families. There's women who've been in business. There's been women who have just been thrown out onto the streets. Sarah is one of our managers of our Marylebone project, and her role is to lead what's known as the social enterprise work. Remarkable woman, young woman, who's full of energy and enthusiasm for her work. And she rents out rooms within the Marylebone project for businesses to use that brings in much needed revenue to run the project. And she also runs about 30 different projects as well, educating women, teaching on healthcare, on education, on English literacy and all kinds of things, sexual health, mental health, all different kinds of things. One of them that I'm especially proud of is Munch at Marylebone. Where they create lunches for businesses across the city of London. It brings in much needed funds to the project. More than this, and more importantly than this, it trains the women so that when they transition into independent living, they can have a career for themselves. The empowerment of women is one of the key reasons why we exist. At the end of our story in Luke chapter 10, Jesus asks, which of the three do you think was a neighbor? Such was the racism of this man, this lawyer, that he cannot even say the Samaritan man. You look at it through gritted teeth, I imagine, the one who had mercy. That's all he can say. Such was the level of indifference and racism that was going on within this man. I serve on the board of this project, this homelessness project. And one, the most valued member of the board is a woman who I sit alongside as a trustee, who came into our project many years ago seeking shelter. And through our key support system, grew in confidence and opportunity, got a flat within the city, got her own job, and now she's doing a master's. And one life has been completely transformed. And because as a trustee, she knows what success and struggle looks like for a woman in this project, she is the most valued board member. One of the challenges I was asked before I came to speak, what can we pray for as a church? And one of the challenges we are facing is staffing and having to go to agencies to get people so that we can run the project professionally and right. And that is in a very expensive route to go down. So I'm planning in the new year an open day for our Marylebone project. And we'll invite people from universities and from churches across the City of London to come and to see the hostel, to come to be inspired by the work that we do, to listen to some of the residents and to hear something of their context and some of their story. And then hopefully some of those listeners will come and work for us. Can you pray for that? Please do pray for that work. Thank you as a church that you stand with us. You pray and you give. It is crucial. I crave your prayers for this project. In many ways, you are part of the team. You are part of the Marylebone project. And you stand with us within this valued work that is seeking to change lives, one woman at a time.